reading on this final Sunday of the Easter season is taken from Acts of the Apostles and recounts the choosing of Matthias to fill the vacant place left by the treachery and death of Judas. This took place soon after the ascension of Jesus, but before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. A full complement of 12 disciples is considered of vital importance. The requirements were that the man had to have been with them the entire time of Jesus' ministry and to have been a witness of the resurrection and ascension. The 11 disciples proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, possibly the same person as Barnabas, and Matthias. The 11 disciples then prayed for the Lord's direction and then cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. But was this the Lord's choice? Some proposed that Paul, not Matthias, was God's choice for the 12th apostle. They argued that Jesus had told the apostles to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that casting lots is not how the disciples should have made their decision. They also point out that Matthias is never again mentioned in the New Testament, while Paul obviously became very prominent in the early Christian church. So are they correct that Paul, not Matthias, was God's choice to be Judas's replacement as the 12th apostle? The New Testament nowhere condones or condemns the way the apostles made their decision. Casting lots was biblically allowed and for making decisions. And while Matthias is never again mentioned in the New Testament, the same can be said for most of the other 11 apostles. So we see that Matthias is chosen by casting lots to fill the empty space, thereby restoring the apostolic group to their full strength of 12. So how is Matthias feeling about all this? It's a pretty big deal, becoming a 12th disciple. Can you imagine being in his shoes or sandals? Does he feel he is ready to take on such a task? He's just an ordinary guy. Did he get the memo about attending Disciples Class 101? Did he feel he was fully prepared? Or was he caught a little off guard by his new appointment to the Brotherhood of Disciples? I kind of think many of us have gone through what Matthias did. Were we ready to take on a new project or make a new change in our lives? Were we reticent to take that first step? I can readily count the number of times I found myself wondering, should I or shouldn't I? I like the way that this points to the openings and the essentialness of choice and awareness. I'd like to read you a poem by Adrian Rich, which talks about such a decision. It's entitled The Door Frame. Either you will go through this door, or you will not go through. If you go through, there is always the risk of remembering your name. Things look at you doubly, and you must look back and let them happen. If you do not go through, it is possible to live worthily, to maintain your attitudes, to hold your position, to die bravely. But much will blind you, much will evade you. At what cost? Who knows? The door itself makes no promises. It is only a door. So what does that mean to us? I'd like to suggest that when we approach a new situation, we are in fact walking through a door into the unknown just like Matthias was. If we walk through, though filled with trepidation, we discover a new world opening to us. If we do not walk through the door, we will miss out, but we will be fine. When it is written, if you go through, there is always the risk of remembering your name. We might interpret that to mean that if we decide to walk through the door, we will find our true selves, the true self that has always been there, but had been long forgotten or hidden from view. We could now discover who we were meant to be. God has given us each wonderful gifts. Do we have the confidence to share those gifts with others and shed what we think the world wants to see us do? Can we live into what God has wanted us to do all along? And we are called to serve in different ways. Think back in your life. Have you found yourself at the precipice of a new decision, wondering if you should walk through the door to a new job, a new relationship, a new ministry, or a new way of serving God? Or maybe that's what's happening in your life right now. Our discernment begins in, is motivated by, and ends in love. In the love of God, in the love for Christ and his church, and in the love of self, finding one's place in the world. This makes the search for our true identity less an awareness of possible courses of action and more a search for the life God intends for us. Our search is not simply for a life we think seems like a good idea at the time, but the right life, found in becoming who and what God created us to be, embracing the way in which he intended our lives to unfold. Jesus encourages us to continue searching, and so beautifully explains this in the Gospel of Thomas. If you are searching, you must not stop until you find. When you find, however, you will become troubled. Your confusion will give way to wonder. In wonder, you will reign over all things. Your sovereignty, your self-governance will be your rest. Have you found your rest as yet? Today, May 16th is a special day for me. It's the 16th anniversary of my ordination to the diaconate. As the ordained deacon here at St. Paul's, I am still in awe that I can be serving like this. I will never take this opportunity for granted. As I walked through the symbolic door towards ordination, I felt so strongly that I had to take the risk. Despite my reticence and worry of not being qualified, I so wanted to serve God as a deacon. I believe that God gives us the strength we need to walk into the darkness of the unknown, and not only lights the path ahead of us, but walks by our side. The former UN Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld, in his book entitled Markings, succinctly describes how it felt when he finally did walk through his door. He shares that once he said yes, there was no going back. That's how I felt, and suspect that's how Matthias felt too. Amen.